Please take your seat. If you missed the sort of announcements at the start, and by the way, there aren't many other announcements because we're in holiday time. I should mention there is no prayer meeting tonight because of the holiday time. But if you missed the announcements, you will have heard that we're doing things a little bit differently this morning. We're taking a break from our study in Ephesians. Mainly, I picked up that a lot of folk were going to be away this week. And also, we've just finished a natural break in verse 14 of Ephesians 1. And I'm not preaching for the next two Sundays. And with a lot of folk being away, I just thought, actually, rather than start a new bit, we would come back to that. And also knowing that the boys and girls would be with us, I thought we'd do something a little bit different. So, like I said, there's a creche. If you want to go out to the creche, that's fine. But you know what? If your kids make noise or anything like that, that's okay. We don't mind that. Jesus welcomed the little children. And when he welcomed the little children, I'm sure he didn't make them be completely silent as they came. So we want to welcome kids at this church. And that's okay. If you hear kids, you know, making a noise, don't worry about it. Just, you know, that's a great noise. And we're glad to have kids among us. So that's what we're all about. So last week, we, like I said, we're in Ephesians. And we looked at verses 11 to 14 of Ephesians. And we looked at this issue in verse 13 of what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. We looked at what on earth is that, and how does that happen? Do you remember that it's a work of God? Do you remember that there's a word that's spoken, and then there's a believing in that word that we come to do? And then we said, well, what does that mean? And I'm sure all the adults who were here could recount all the points of that sermon perfectly well now. Any hands want to? No, okay, no. I'll tell you what that means. The being sealed in the Holy Spirit means that it's the stamp that guarantees God's presence with us in our lives. That's one thing. It also is God marking us as His. And that means so that God can protect us, so that He can look and say, that person, they're mine, I'm going to make sure that they're safe. And it also means it's our little taste of heaven. Do you remember the Holy Spirit is our down payment for the inheritance that one day we'll get in heaven? So we have a little taste of heaven in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And what I thought we'd do today is say, well, okay, that's true, but some of those things are quite hard to understand for our day-to-day lives. So in practical terms, what does having the Holy Spirit in our lives, what does that mean? So, boys and girls, you might know the story in the New Testament of how Jesus came to earth. Jesus was God's Son who existed from before even the world began. He's always been there. And Jesus came to earth, the Son of God, became a man. He lived a perfect life. He loved all the people he came into contact with. He served them. He taught them. He cared for them. But Jesus was rejected. Jesus was hated, and even though he never did anything wrong, Jesus died a horrible death on the cross of Calvary. But when he died, he didn't stay dead. Because Jesus was perfect, death couldn't keep its grip on him. So not like anyone else ever in the world, Jesus rose again from the dead. And you remember what happened? Then Jesus appeared to lots and lots of people. He had some fish on the beach, it tells us on one story. He performed miracles and things like that. And he told people not to be afraid. But then do you remember what happened? He went back to heaven. And we read about that in the book of Acts. Jesus went up. It says he went up and disappeared into the clouds. Now, can you imagine if you were the disciples, how you would feel at that point? These disciples had known Jesus for a few years, and they loved him. They thought he was fantastic, right? And then he dies, and they were all scared and frightened, right? But then he comes back to life, and they were full of joy again, and they thought, great, this is all going to be okay. We'll get rid of these Romans. They had these scary people, the Romans who were, you know, keeping them captive. They said, we'll get rid of these guys, and it'll all be fine. And then things changed. Jesus went back to heaven, and that must have been a very difficult thing. And if that was the end of the story, that would be a very sad end. We would read the Bible and just think, oh, that's just a story that happens. It doesn't mean anything for us today. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus went to heaven and he sent them a special gift. And he sent us a special gift. Does anyone know the name of the person that Jesus sent for us to be with us? Anyone know? Who are we speaking about today? I heard someone say it. Counselor, that's right. The counselor is one word. What's another name? The Holy Spirit, that's right, absolutely. So we're going to read the story of how the Holy Spirit came, okay? So it says, when the day, so this is Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They were all praying because they were frightened at this point. And it says, and Mark, if you can flash up the PowerPoint, it says, suddenly there came from heaven a sound. To come. It's very scary, isn't it? But if you're inside and a scary wind starts to come, that would be quite something, okay? So let's read the next bit. It says, a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire, little flames of fire, came down and appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Verse 4. Mark, if you can flash up verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now what this means...
Mujer y perfumes.
That's what this means. So this means other languages. So here's an example of what it might sound like. They all started speaking in different languages.
Mujer y perfumes.
What on earth is going on? They all started speaking in different languages, and later on in Acts chapter 2, it tells us that they were declaring the wonders of God in all these different languages. So all these different people were around. Some of them could hear it in this language, and another could hear it in their own language, and it was a very, very special moment. And the cool thing is, the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, but he didn't just leave after a few years, like Jesus did. But what we were learning last week in Ephesians 1 is that the Holy Spirit stays with us. And every person who trusts in Jesus has the Holy Spirit with them. And the Holy Spirit does lots of things for us. The Holy Spirit equips us with lots of things. And that's what we're going to ask today. What does the Holy Spirit equip us with? Right? Okay, so the first thing, when you think about equipping, you think, well, what does that mean? Well, who's ever been on a hike up a mountain? Anyone here been on a hill walk before? Yeah. Right, so what did you have to do when you had to go on a hike? What did you have to do before you left the house? Can you think of anything you had to do to get ready for that moment? Yes, that's right. You had to pack. What were some of the things you need to pack if you're going hiking? Yeah, that's right. Candy, absolutely. Most important thing, Mars bar, you know, nothing healthy. That's right, absolutely right. What else are some of the things you need to pack with you? Say again? Water, absolutely. You need to take water. You need to take warm clothes. Yeah? Waterproofs, absolutely, especially in Scotland, right? Because it's going to rain at some point. So you need to get all the right clothes. So you need to prepare these things. You might also take something different. You might take something not just to help you survive on the trip, but to help you enjoy it. Like you might take binoculars with you so that you can see beautiful birds or whatever it might be, or deers from far away. Yes, sir, what else? A camera, absolutely, because you might want to take photos of your sister when you're up the top of the hill or whatever. That might be right, exactly. So you need to get your equipment ready for the journey. And it's the same for us in life. We need equipment to help us survive in life, and we need equipment to help us enjoy life. So here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit gives us, some of the things that he equips us with. The Holy Spirit gives us courage. Courage. Does anyone ever get scared here? I expect to see all hands in the air to that question. Yeah, absolutely. I get scared all the time. And when I was a little boy, I used to get very scared, right? There was a program on when I was a little boy called Murder, She Wrote, right? Some of the grown-ups know about Murder, She Wrote. And in one of the episodes of Murder, She Wrote, the story was that there was a hotel or a rooms in a house, and they had a wardrobe on one side of the wall, then another wardrobe, okay? And there was a bad man in one of the rooms, and he sneaked into the other room through the wardrobes, right? So he went into his wardrobe, and then there was a hole in the wall, right? And he went through the hole in the wall, and then he came out the other side of the wardrobe and did something horrible to the person in the other room, right? Hurt them, okay? And I had a wardrobe in my room that looked just like the wardrobe in Murder, She Wrote. So I used to go to sleep and get so scared about this wardrobe, thinking, is someone going to come out of the wardrobe tonight and hurt me, right? But we all get scared about things. It could be things like that when we're scared at night of the dark, or it could be other things that we get scared about. You know, one of the things I sometimes get scared about? Telling other people about Jesus. Telling other people that I love Jesus. And you know what? The Holy Spirit gives us courage for that. I don't know about you, but some people think it's silly that we believe in Jesus and that we love Jesus. And it's hard when you learn that and you have to go to school and you tell people what you were doing on Sunday, that we were singing songs to Jesus and learning all about how Jesus loves us. That can be a difficult thing to do. And the Holy Spirit gives us courage. So we see that in the story that we'd just been reading there. The disciples had been scared, and then what happened? The Holy Spirit came, and then they had courage. Listen to what it says. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now the last thing that devout Jews had done, one of the last things they'd done is they'd just killed Jesus. So they did not like Jesus. Right? But here, in the presence of these men, the disciples were able to stand up and speak with courage. Listen, in verse 14 it says, Peter, standing with the 11 apostles, lifted up his voice and addressed them. And Peter was able to be brave and to tell them all about Jesus. And we see this again in the book of Acts. There's a story where Peter gets thrown in prison. Right, and imagine what it would be like to be thrown in prison, be so scared, you're not knowing what's going to happen to you. And then he got let out of prison, and he went back to his friends, and they were praying straight after he got out of prison. And listen to what it says in Acts 4, verse 31. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. With courage. There's another story, we won't read it, but in Acts chapter 7, this story of a man called Stephen. And Stephen was killed by these bad men who hated Jesus. And it says that Stephen, the way that he was able to get through that was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus there, and he was able to get through this very, very hard time. So friends, not just boys and girls, but all people here, do you need courage this week? The Holy Spirit gives us courage for our lives. The next thing is the Holy Spirit gives us comfort. Comfort. Right, I'm going to show you a video, okay? And you just have to take my word for it, but I've checked it out. And this is a true advert, commercial, from the States, okay? For a thing called Huggygram. Right, you ready? Here we go.
Flowers. Flowers. Flowers again.
This year, send them something new, something personal that's full of love, a great big hug from you with Huggygram. Even when you can't be with them, they can still experience your loving embrace. A Huggygram is the warmest, most personal gift you can share. It's your own loving expression that could always be wrapped around the ones you love the most. When you order, you can even record a special personalized message that plays right from their Huggygram.
Happy Valentine's Day, honey. I love you.
Call or log on to send a Huggygram with a personalized audio message for only $29.95.
Order now and we'll also include beautiful roses made from fine wood that last forever. A $25 value, yours free. Call or visit Huggygram.com to order your Huggygram with personalized message and lasting roses, all for just $29.95.
The website is still live. You can still order them. Anyone who, you know, wants to get ready for Valentine's Day early this year, you can get a hug. It's possibly the spookiest ever Valentine's Day gift you could ever receive, right? But the whole point of Huggygram is to comfort people, right? That's the idea behind it, is that when your husband or wife or your sister or brother can't be there and you need a hug, you can just put on your Huggygram and you can feel comforted, right? Well, that's a silly example, right? And in a much more special special way, the Holy Spirit can give us comfort. We all need comforted, don't we? We all have times when we feel sad, times when we feel lonely or scared, and we need comfort. And in Acts chapter 9, we get a little summary statement of what's been going on. It says there, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, so the church is growing. And listen to this, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. They were going through the hardest of times, but because they had the presence of God within them, they could know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So that's another thing that the Holy Spirit gives us, courage and comfort. Next thing is the Holy Spirit gives us the right words to say. Any of you willing to put your hand up and admit that you are a chatterbox? You like to talk. Anyone? Yeah, Rachel Hood, hand up, absolutely. I wasn't telling her to put her hand up. I was acknowledging the fact that she had already put... Just say, yeah, hands up. I would put my hand up. I think I've told you before that one of my school... all my school reports used to say, Martin does okay work, but he could do with talking a little bit less. That was true of my whole story throughout school. I really like to talk. Sometimes my friend will ask me a question. We've got friends around for dinner, and I'll start talking. And then I'll realize... Actually, I've been talking for a really long time. And you know what? I don't even know what the original question was. And that's a problem. And I have to tell myself to stop speaking about God. But you know, sometimes we can find it difficult to find the right words when we think about our relationship with God. Like I was saying to you before, we come to church here and we sing songs and we get to know some of the words that we use at church about God. But like I was saying, not everyone knows that, do they? In our workplace, in our school place, some people, when we start speaking about Jesus or our love for God, they look at us as if we've got two heads. You know, they think we're a little bit weird. And the Bible is really clear that sometimes people will think that we are silly. Sometimes people will think we're very foolish for believing in Jesus. And sometimes people will get angry about that. People get angry. Why do you believe that? I thought you were a normal person. Why do you believe in Jesus? And we need to explain to people why we believe and why we have faith. And for someone who likes to talk a lot, sometimes when I'm faced with one of those hard questions or a question about science or a question about the meaning of life, sometimes it feels like my mind goes a little bit blank and I get a bit nervous in that moment. Well, guess what, friends? The Holy Spirit gives us words. The Holy Spirit gives us words to say in those moments. Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 says this. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, that just means, you know, the people who want to know about why you believe these things, says, Jesus said this, do not be anxious, don't be frightened, concerned about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Isn't that so special? You don't need to be clever. You don't need to have all these well-known arguments that you can just spout off. But if we trust in God, if we ask for help, He can help us and give us the right words to say in that moment. You know, other passages in the Bible go even further than that. They say not just that the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say, but they actually, in some mysterious way, say the Holy Spirit will speak for you. Wow, isn't that amazing? And sometimes, you know, you can have those moments and you get scared and you think, oh no, I don't think I did a very good job. But that's okay. As long as you're trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit will give you words to say. So that's the next thing. He gives us words. The next thing is that the Holy Spirit gives us hope. Gives us hope. We all need hope to get through life. And listen to these words from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope, can you say that? May the God of hope, one more time, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope, you may be full of hope. I want to encourage you, some of you here, boys and girls, And mums and dads and older people among us are going through some very difficult times. But I want to encourage you that you can believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with joy and peace, and you can overflow. You can overflow in hope. Nothing is too difficult for God. That's one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us hope. Guess what? Not just hope. But the Holy Spirit also, in those hard times, can give us joy. Can give us joy. Right, I'm going to show you another video just now, just in a moment. And hopefully this will make some of you smile here this morning. I don't know about you, but for me, that is one of the best feelings in the world. If you get the giggles when you're around some people that you love, if you start to really laugh, that is one of the best feelings in all the world. And it's for all ages. Did you see that? Started off with babies and right through to older folk, right? And if that doesn't make you smile, you must be having a really bad day today. We need to do some prayer ministry at the end to pray for you, because it's something infectious about that. But what we're talking about here is different from that, okay? There's a difference between laughter and happiness and joy, okay? There's a difference because we don't laugh all the time. We don't laugh when hard things happen. We don't laugh and have this big silly smile when sad things happen in our lives. But we can always have joy. We can always have joy. Romans 14:17 says this: the kingdom of God isn't a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you know, the kingdom of God, what it means to be sons and daughters of the King of Kings is that you will know a joy which is deeper than anything that is going on in your life, which can surpass any hard thing which is going on. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 talks about the joy of the Holy Spirit. And we can experience that in the good times, and we can experience that in the hard times. So the Holy Spirit brings joy. One more thing, three more things I want to mention to you. The Holy Spirit gives guidance. The Holy Spirit gives guidance. We all have times, maybe some of you at the moment are facing some really big changes in your lives. There are some members of our church who are probably going to have to leave us in the next few months because they're being shipped away to a new assignment somewhere, right? And maybe you've got something like that coming up, or maybe you've just got different decisions that you need. Where to spend your money, who to be friends with at school, what hobbies to do, you know what you should be doing next with your job or whatever it might be. And there are so many amazing examples in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit gives guidance to people. I'll just read one story, right, from Acts chapter 16. Listen to this, verse 6. It says, Paul and the apostles there went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So they had these plans to go somewhere, but Paul felt that he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go there. I don't know how that worked, but that's amazing to me. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. How does that work? Did he put up a border guard or what? Was there a force field that they bumped into? Who knows? But they weren't able to go. They didn't feel that God was allowing them to go. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to us them. That's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit guided them where to go and when to go and how to do it. And there's so many more examples. There's a really funny one where Peter is upstairs and he's praying. And there are some men downstairs in Acts chapter 10 trying to get into Peter's house. But Peter can't hear him. And it says the men are shouting. And then it says in the story that the Spirit of God told Peter that there were some men at the front door. It's like the Holy Spirit doorbell, you know, telling Peter, go down and answer the door. There are some people here. But the point is that the Holy Spirit gives us guidance. And that's a hard thing to understand. There's no formula to this. How does that work? We don't all hear, or we don't often hear voices speaking to us, telling us what to do and where to go. But we can know how God is leading us. I have a friend, an amazing guy called Bruce Main, who leads a ministry in inner city Camden, New Jersey in the States. And he's written a book called Holy Hunches. Holy Hunches. And he says what it's about is just getting close enough to God that you feel God nudging you to do something. And sometimes you might feel that. Sometimes you're at school and you're in class and you might just feel, do you know what? I just, for whatever reason, I just feel like I need to go and tell my friend that I think they're great. Or I need to go and give them a hug. Or I need to go and ask them, are you okay? Are things going okay? Or for some of us, it might mean just emailing someone and saying, I just want you to know I was thinking about you. Is everything okay? Or it might just mean asking someone, do you know what? God just put me on your heart. I don't know why, but is there anything I can pray for you for? Holy hunches, listening to the guidance of God. The second last one is that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts for the church. Let me read to you this from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says this, as each, every person, okay, that's the whole point, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks from God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, here's the point, why do we have gifts? That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever and ever. And we see this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're told time and time again why we have gifts from God. And we're told about 5 or 6 times in that chapter, it's for the building up of the church. For the building up so that the church may be encouraged. So, do you know what? If you love Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, you have a gift. He's given you something special to do. And it's different from just a talent. It can be a talent, but it's a talent that God has given special power and special unique role to. And if you trust in Jesus, even if you're really young here today, God's given you something to do in this church. And do you know what? We at Hillview Community Church, we really need you all, young or old, to be using your gifts. We need this church to be built up. We need it to be strengthened. And that's why God has given you gifts. So you need to ask yourself, what gift has God given me? What do I feel that I could help with? what special ability has God given me to use for Hillview Community Church? And you can read about the different gifts in the Bible. And one of the things that I hope that we're going to get to do in the future is to maybe help us in church have different courses and different ways of understanding what might my spiritual gift be. The last thing, and this one is awesome. I think I saved the best for last, right? The last thing is that the Holy Spirit gives and brings transformation. He transforms who we are. This is incredible. I don't know about you, but all of us can think back to a time where we felt really thirsty. Anyone remember a time where you feel incredibly parched and thirsty? I don't know why, but I've got one memory from when I must have been about 11 or something, and it was a hot summer's day in Dundee. Maybe that's why I can remember it, because it doesn't come around very often. And I'd been playing football for ages, and I came home, and me and my friends were there. I can just remember it so clearly. I got some diluting juice, poured it into the glass, and filled it up with ice cold water, and got loads of ice cubes in, and just enjoyed this drink. And you just remember how... what a beautiful feeling that is when you get the chance to pour yourself a nice, you know, glass of water and take a nice drink. Mm. Awesome. It's just great. And it just feels so refreshed and so much better in that moment. Well, you know what? We can get the same way spiritually. Sometimes when we think about our relationship with Jesus, sometimes we feel a bit spiritually parched, a bit spiritually dry. And the question is, when we feel like that, how do we get from there to the place where some of the people in the Bible were? So you read these stories in the Bible, they're full of passion for God, and they're full of commitment to God and courage. And how do we get to that point? How do we get that transformation? And the truth is, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. These are some of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Wow! Wow! As we dwell upon, as we think about, as we set our minds upon how special and glorious and majestic Jesus is, the Holy Spirit transforms us. It turns us into His likeness from glory to glory. From one degree of glory, that version of the Bible puts it. It's amazing. Titus chapter 3 talks about the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Friends, boys and girls, everyone here, God wants to renew us. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. And it's a gift that comes by His Holy Spirit. So the last question is, well, what do we do with that? The Holy Spirit brings us all these things: courage, comfort, words, hope, joy, guidance, gifts for the church, transformation. What are we supposed to do about that? Well, the truth is, we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is not flaky, charismatic talk, okay? Some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, that sounds a bit, you know, I've been to some of those churches, I'm not sure about that. It's not flaky, charismatic talk. It's Bible talk. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. We've been doing that today. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's such a beautiful picture of what we should be about here at Hillview Community Church. And we need to pray every day when we wake up. Lord God, would you fill me with your Spirit today? Would I know your presence and your touch today among me? in my life, right? And how does that work? Well, here's a little illustration that someone once gave me, and this is where we're finishing, okay? Boys and girls, you've done awesome. I'm so proud of you. Well done. Well done, right? Here's a little illustration someone once showed me, okay? I've got a basin of water here. Now, I've got a sponge, okay? Now, if I scrunch this sponge up, okay, and put it in, right, and take it out, shake off the excess water. How much water do you think's in the sponge? Do you think there's loads? Let's see. Shall we see? Huh. There's not really very much there at all, right? But what happens if I put it in like this, right? Do you know what? I've just realized this is the type of sponge where this may not work. Let's wait and see. If I put it in like, and just hold it gently. Oh, it does work, doesn't it? Phew, phew. Not quite as well as it might have, but it still worked all the same. You see, there's lots and lots of water in like that. And do you know what, friends? That's like us with the Holy Spirit. If we come to God, right, and we come to God and we close ourselves up, and we say, do you know what? I don't really want to know much of the presence of God in my life. I want to be secure in who I am. I want to just live life in my own strength. No, I'm not going to open up my life to God. Then that's the experience we'll know. We won't know much of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. But if we come with open hands and open hearts and say, like Ephesians chapter 5, just when we wake up, Lord God, would you help me today? Lord God, would you fill me by your Spirit today? Would you give me some of these things that we've been looking at? I need your words today, God. I need your courage today. Lord God, I'm feeling really low today. Would you give me your comfort? Lord God, today, would you transform me? Would you make me that little bit more like Jesus? And we come and we say, I'm going to bring my whole life. I know I'm a mess. I know I do wrong things. But God, please help me. Please fill me by your Spirit. I think, just like the sponge in that place, God's pleased with that. God loves a humble heart. And God opposes a proud heart. And we need to come with humble hearts and ask him to fill us with his Spirit and help us for each day. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for the time together this morning. We thank you so much for the boys and girls being with us. I've just really enjoyed having them among us. And I want to pray especially for them this week. Lord God, I pray for them, first of all, that they would know and that they would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That they would know that to be a Christian doesn't mean that you have to work really hard and do all the right things so that you will love us. But I pray that they would know that to be a Christian means to trust in Jesus, to love Jesus, to accept all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, and to love you for it, and to make you Lord and Savior of our lives. And I pray that these boys and girls would know that. That they would know that more special than anything in the world is the precious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they would love him and trust him. And as they do that, Lord God, I pray that they would know that they have the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. That they walk every day with the very presence of God. And we thank you, Lord God, not just for the boys and girls, but for all of us here, for the many gifts that you give us by your Spirit. We thank you for all these gifts that you've given us. And we pray that this week we would open our lives and we would experience that transformation. We would know the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.